Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, online at philhendryshow.com. Clara Bingham is on the line with me with Pastor William Rennick. And Clara, just a question people ask often. Your last name is Bingham because...
I've kept my maiden name for professional reasons. I'm in business as the administrator to our school, obviously, as professionally as an educator. I have written a number of books. We've written textbooks for middle school and elementary school. And it's just a professional, it's a professional consideration given the fact that before I married William, I was known in the education field by my maiden name. But it is not certainly had nothing to do with me not being very, very proud of being his wife. Thank you. You're welcome.
All right. Well, that's and thank you for letting us know. A lot of women are doing that now.
I don't know of a lot of women. I do know that there are some that.
There are women that are keeping their maiden names.
A lot of women feel like if I could say.
Go ahead.
A lot of women are hyphenate, and that's a part. I'm not a big. Proponent of that. I don't believe in that. I think it sounds effete. I think it sounds European. It does not sound American to me.
Which is that?
That's like a lot of your friend. My wife Clara has friend. She has a friend of hers. Her name is I think it's Sarah Dunham Fleischman or something. Was that her name?
Yeah, that's Sarah Fleischman.
She uses, though, her hyphenated name, doesn't she?
She uses that name, yes.
I like what you do. You call yourself Clara Bingham.
Well, at that time, I call myself Clara Bingham Rennick when you and I are appearing, we're going to a function.
I think that sounds effete. I think it sounds European. I don't think it sounds American. I think you either have your name.
Well, my name is Bingham.
No, I know that. But I'll tell you this. What would it sound like if I took my name, I said, my name is Pastor William Rennick Bingham. I would sound, I don't even want to know. People start talking about me behind my back, you know. My last name is my wife's name. They think I'm some kind of, one of these guys that likes to dress up. I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
All right, I want to ask you a question, Pastor Rennick, by the way. You know... We were just talking in the last hour, and welcome back to the show, folks. And did I mention that we're online at philhendryshow.com? Yes. Okay. You said that the way I reported this information, I was screeching.
Well, Phil, I think it needs to be said. Can I just say this?
No, but you said that I was screeching and I sounded hysterical.
I think you did say that one.
Yeah, but let me just say something. You understand that the news you're reporting is 13 hours old. 13 hours old. So that news has been reported.
I didn't know that.
Well, I think that's something that I'm saying this as, and this is not anything that I should know. I'm a Christian minister. You know, my beat, if you want to call it that, my news beat, is the souls and the lives, really, of my congregation. I'm very, very happy to... good people like Phil Hendry and everybody I listen to on the radio or watch on TV tell me what the news is. But if you come on like a lady, and I'm not saying you're a lady, Phil, but you come on like a lady. You come on like a lady. What they say, the little lady with a mouse,
I don't think that's fair,
No, I'm not trying to be fair, but...
Well, what do you mean I came on like a lady? I had this news...
Well, you like this, Margaret Gray...
Pastor Rennick, I understand what you're saying. I said to Phil that he was screeching and he was turning it into World War III. And
Wait, hold the phone. You're the one that said World War III, we're on the doorstep.
No, I didn't. I said you're making it sound like it's World War III.
Yeah, I think that's what you did, Phil.
Wait a second. You're the guy that started bawling, and you're the one that said she's scaring me. You said you're afraid it's World War III.
Well, Phil, regardless of who said what, what I'm trying to say is, when you come on and you made an announcement about the Security Council and Turkey, and you said, now I know you didn't sound like that.
No, I know I didn't sound like that, so why are you doing that?
Because that's the effect it had. It sounded to me, I'm just telling you what it sounded like, okay? Now, please understand. I'm not saying that you passed, but you sounded like a lady that if you ever seen a cartoon, with a lady and there's a mouse. You ever seen that, Phil?
Have I ever seen what?
Have you ever seen the cartoon where the lady
And a lot of times she'll get up on the table and go, oh, oh. You know, there's a mouse. Yeah, like a mouse, still like a lady seeing a mouse.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, that's what you were doing. You were coming up and going, oh, oh.
It's pretty funny.
Hey.
Now, come on, don't let your pride get in the way, Phil. Don't let your pride get in the way. Now, you know, I've talked to you about this, haven't I?
Pastor Renick,
haven't I talked to you about your pride getting in the way? And there's an old saying, the pride comes before the fall. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. I want you to just get off your high horse and just recognize that when you come on and you talk about Turkey and Syria and there's going to be a war and all this, you were reporting news that 13 hours old. Oh, everybody know about this. Security Council already did what they're going to do. Turkey's already shelling Syria. I mean, always firing artillery on Syria. And there you come on going, and there's going to be a war. Ooh, ooh.
Now, see, that right there is, you're making me sound...
No, I'm not saying you sound like that. I'm just saying it has the effect of that.
That's right, Phil. I think William sometimes is over the top. What he's saying, this is what you sounded like. You started going, ah!
Yeah.
Ah, help!
So you guys are saying I sounded like that lady with the mouse.
No. No, not at all.
Yes, you are. That's exactly what you're saying.
No, we're not, Phil. I wish you would listen to what we're saying. I'm not saying you sounded effeminate.
That's exactly what Clara just made me sound like. She said that I was going, ah!
No, Phil, I was saying that is the effect that some people are hearing. There's the way you're doing it, and there's the way that people hear it. Okay?
Yeah. For instance, Phil, here's the way people are hearing it. They're hearing this.
Ah!
The way you're saying it is this. Oh, yeah, Daddy. Oh, yeah, Daddy. See? Now,
no, I don't see. Now you got me sounding like some...
like what? Don't be homophobic. Now,
you know what? I'm going to take a break. I don't like where this is going. I don't think it's very... I don't think it's very respectful.
Phil, what did we do wrong?
Well, you're telling me that I... Oh, no, Phil. You didn't sound effeminate. However, this is the way it's being received. Ah! Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're saying, well, in fact, I'm not doing that.
No, you're not doing that.
No, instead, what I'm doing is, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy. What is that about?
Well, Phil, I think only man that would know that world would be able to understand that.
That's a good point. I can't argue with that.
Okay. Oh.
You just hung up on Pastor Renick, Phil. You can't do that.
I'll call him back, okay? Just tell him that we've lost the line.
You want me to lie to the pastor?
Yes. I want you to lie to the pastor, okay?
Phil, you can't lie to a Christian pastor. He'll know. They're close to God. And they can, it's almost like they read minds. I mean, I don't know a lot about it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I worry about that too, Phil.
About what? If you can read my mind?
No, but he had a hotline to God, and God will say he just hung up on you.
Oh, pfft. I apologize, folks. It's 13-hour-old news, so I just find out here from Pastor Renick, and the Syrian, whatever the hell, the Security Council has acted. They've condemned it. Turkey is shelling Syria as we speak. Apparently, they opened up with artillery today or sometime earlier today. So they got it under control, whoever they are. Somebody's got something under control.
One thing for sure, you don't.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you don't.
Okay, I don't. I'm sorry. I thought I had... freshly breaking news, like freshly baked bread. You know, that's what I get for trusting CNN.
Yeah, go ahead and blame them.
That's exactly what I'm doing. We'll be right back with more on Ms. Bingham and Joyful Union and the kids' lunches when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You up here? This is what you sound like, dude. You sound like this.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and here with Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and everybody, and a reminder that we are online at philhendryshow.com. We have our Phil TV and HD. We also have all of the downloadable hours, thousands of hours of audio there. We also have available downloads of the Milwaukee Lions regular season games in the Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference. Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison calling all the action. And the Lions against Miami just went up as a download. Well, actually went up on Tuesday as a download. And I think the final scores are in, as are the standings. Now, as it turns out, this is the number one download on our website now, the Milwaukee Lions. Surpassing every, it even surpasses the podcasts that we've been doing that have been available on our on iTunes.
You're kidding?
No. So keep the, dig this, man. The Milwaukee Lion podcast and our regular podcast, which we haven't updated in quite some time, but we were like, you know, floating around 70, 60 most downloaded comedy podcasts. And then I just got too overworked and we stopped doing them. But the Milwaukee Lion podcast, which is a subscriber-only podcast, has surpassed the numbers that we were doing for the free one on iTunes. So I said today to Alex, I said, is this driving subscriptions? He said, I don't know. He said, could be, which is pretty heavy. Do you understand what's going on here?
No.
Neither do I.
No, don't say, what do you mean? What's going on?
Well, I mean, it's a whole new genre of comedy, if you want to get right down to it. I'm not saying there's anything revolutionary about it, but it's Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison cursing up a blue streak, throwing people through the window of the press box, getting into fist fights with the producer, and calling a football game, all happening in the press box. And it's, you know, there are moments of high hysteria and sheer, you know, side-splitting, gut-splitting humor. And then the commercials are weird, starting with Dr. Kibble's detox center, moving on to Bozo's pep pills, and then...
another one I like. Oh, yeah, Barney's Roses.
Barney's Roses. There's another one. Barney's Roses. And this is a flower company... This is a florist who is not trying to impress you with how beautiful the flowers are. He's not trying to impress you with how impressed she'll be. He's basically challenging the men out there to get to know how to buy flowers because you know how to do everything else. So it's almost like listening to some kind of... It's like the guy selling guns.
I heard that Barney's Roses. I found that very offensive.
Well, you would. You're a woman. But that's... You see, this is the beautiful thing about Barney's Roses, and it kind of goes to a bigger issue. Florists, and what are we, do we have a holiday coming up? No, we don't. We have Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween. Don't people give flowers then? Well, probably not.
A goblin gives flower to a goblin girl.
A goblin gives flower, what did you say?
I said a goblin give a flower to a goblin girl.
Goblin would give a flower to a goblin girl.
Well, what does that mean? That's weird.
Yeah, let's just say, guys, that Halloween is not what we would call a flower-giving holiday. Is that okay? Is that all right with you?
What about Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Maybe on Thanksgiving some guys give. I can see giving flowers to your mother and your grandmother on Thanksgiving.
What about your dad?
I don't see giving flowers to my dad on Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving is more of a day. I mean, it's a day for the entire family. It's a day for our wonderful country and our families. But if I was going to give anybody flowers on Thanksgiving, it would be the author of the meal, as they say.
What's that mean?
The person who's making the meal. So that would be your mother.
My dad made a turkey. And my uncle make a turkey.
All right. Well, then give flowers to your dad. I know your father's dead.
Yeah, I can't do that, Mr. Henry.
All right. Give flowers to your uncle, then. I'm just trying to say, you knuckleheads, you don't give flowers out on Thanksgiving.
What about Christmas?
Oh.
Do you understand? So here's the thing. Now I forgot what I... Yeah. Here's the thing. Flowers and the giving of flowers... On Valentine's Day, which is a huge flower-giving day. On Mother's Day, which is a huge flower-giving day. On anniversaries, huge flower-giving. Who is generally giving the flowers? It's the man. And what do these florists do to appeal to the men?
You know, she'll just love you with the this and the that.
The commercials, in my opinion, come off rather soft. Like they say in football, you know, they play a soft zone. They don't hit. These commercials don't hit. You're not really appealing to men. The Barney's Roses commercials, I think, are good because they're challenged. They're basically saying to men the following thing. Get in there and get some flowers and quit screwing around with pajamas and all this stuff. Get some flour, you know. And they're also saying to guys, we're not going to tell you how to score women and we're not going to tell you how to treat a woman. You know how to treat a woman. You already know how to treat women. You know that they like diamonds. You know that they like bubble bath. We're not going to insult your intelligence. Oh, here's some nice pajamas, and she'll just love you if you... You guys know what women like. The one thing you clowns don't know anything about is how to buy flowers, and that's why we're here.
So you think that, a woman is going to like that?
Women aren't supposed to hear that.
Yes, Phil's saying women don't hear it.
I can hear what he's saying. You're saying that women... So...
I'm saying, Margaret, that women are not the objects of flower commercials. Men are. And you don't talk to men about buying flowers for a woman by basically telling the guy, boy, you sure are a moron. You don't know anything about chicks, do you? Yeah, whoa, there's sunshine. I know enough about women to, you know, what's the song say? You know, I know a little about love and baby, I can guess the rest. All right, take it easy, bud.
That's right, man.
I find it very disrespectful.
All right, come on. So what guys need is advice on, okay, what are the flowers? Now, you talk to a guy the way you talk to a guy. Hey, you, Charlie, yeah? You want to buy some flowers or you want to stand there looking stupid? Come on in here and we'll show you how to get the flowers. You don't talk to him like, oh, and you know what else you'll like? A teddy bear and this and that and this and that. I mean, I'm sure that there's all kinds of marvelous things that women... But if I'm selling flowers, and I'm not selling teddy bears, and I'm not selling pajamas, and I'm not selling candy grams, and I'm not selling... I'm selling flowers, then that's the way I would approach my customers.
So you're basically talking to these guys like they're members of a football team, and you're the coach.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, yes. You talk to a man like you're the head coach, he's on the team. Guys, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go in there, you're going to get some roses. Well, I don't know how we call it. I'm going to tell you what kind of roses you get. And you see, you get the kind, maybe she likes the peach color, maybe she likes the this and that. You get them when they're a bud so that they open up and they become a nice flower. You go in, get a dozen of these roses. I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you how to buy them. Put them in the vase. Boom! You just did your job. You don't go telling the guy all this other jazz.
I think what you just said there is absolutely brilliant. And I can't wait to hear the new florist commercials you're going to have on your show.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath. Okay?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just telling you that's how I would pitch flowers. That's why Barney's Roses is one of the big sponsors there on the Milwaukee Lions football games.
Now, where is Barney's Roses located?
In Milwaukee. It doesn't even exist. You know, it's a
It's a hard to make believe football team.
What?
Margaret.
Don't you know what we're talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you saying?
It's a made up football team. It doesn't exist. We make it up.
Well, who's this Jack I. Gagner?
The guy that we made up.
And Barney's Roses.
We made it up.
Well, Milwaukee exists, right?
Yes, Milwaukee exists. It is a fantasy. It is a bit of entertainment. It is a piece of theater. It's a piece of imagining. You know, it's stylized. It's a movie for the ears. It's a movie for the head. It's just, it's a podcast. It's one of the podcasts that we offer on our website at philhenryshow.com. So anyway, check out the Milwaukee Lion.
Wait, Bozo's Pet Pills was a real place. I get a handful of that, man.
Yeah, a lot of time to get a handful of Bozo.
Get a handful of Bozo, huh?
Oh, my God, that's vile.
No, wait. I would love it if Bozo's Pet Pills existed, because there are nights, man, when I could really use some Bozo's Pet Pills, but... If I heard the commercial correctly, you have to take a Bozo Pep pill along with 10 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Don't you get it? That's what's giving you the pep, not the Bozo's Pep pills. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, when we do return, the U.S. has rejected an Iranian plan to end the standoff over the nuclear program. At least that's what they were saying. I think we're all done with Pastor Renick and Clara.
Yeah, but we didn't really give them a chance to talk.
Well, that's the way it is sometimes, man. And we've got other news for you. So stick around, guys. Always weird. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And by the way, here's a picture of Al-Assad, the prime minister of Syria. And that guy needs to do some work on his head.
What's wrong with it?
It looks like it's smaller than I think it's smaller than a guy's head should be for those shoulders. I don't know. There's something wrong with him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-7445 and online at philhenryshow.com.
Oh,
we're on the air.
I don't think that Barney Brosnan...
They're not real. Do you understand? There's no such place as Barney Brosnan.
Oh! I thought there was.
You thought there was. You're an idiot. You know that? I've been talking about them being fake. You know that we're on the air? Turn the mics off, will you, bud?
Sorry.
Of all the...
When you, I
want to
go. I want to get out of here. So when you come back, okay?
You got it.
I think your mics are still on.
Your mics are on, bud.
All right, just turn them off.
Thanks.
No, they're still on.
Hendry.
Turn them off, bud. Worry about it. 877-877-6-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall on the line with us, our vice president of syndication. And you have a couple of things I know you want to say about some of my pre-show comments, correct?
Well, yeah, I do, Phil. I think, you know, your audience, you know, the people that were watching your pre-show heard you saying, once again, some extremely explosive and insightful things, things that would, I got to tell you, I better you than me, you know. The fact that you're referencing, and by the way, congratulations to Jerry Doyle.
Congratulations, Jerry. Jerry's moved into Michael Savage's slot there. That's the afternoon drive slot. And Jerry's a hell of a nice guy, good guy, and he deserves all the good things that come his way.
Yeah, but you say, I just heard what you said. Is he going to get Michael Savage's money?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, why do you want to start something? Why do you want to start that?
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with what?
What's wrong with me asking if Jerry's going to get paid Michael Savage money? What's wrong with that?
Because you're starting something. Because you're now going to, if he hears that and he gets that bug in his ear, he's, you know, next thing you know, he's going to be knocking on the door asking, hey, yeah, where's my money, you know?
Well, I'm sure they've given him a pop, you know.
Yeah, I would expect they have.
I mean, you know, Jerry, if you're listening, I'm sure you've gotten, they've given you a sizable raise, haven't they? I mean, they should. Yeah, they must. You know,
I don't know. I don't know that it's any of your business.
Wait a second here, pal. Where do you get this any of my business stuff? You know, this is what I find to be fascinating. We can talk about anything we want. And I love how they've been selling here. Oh, yeah, man. Talk radio. This is where people really hammer it. But, you know, I'm talking about something that's right. This is where people live. We're talking money. Aren't we talking money? Isn't this what's going on with the economy now? Money, huh? People are, you know, are we going to make some money? Are we not making money? Are people making enough money? Are people employed? You know?
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, look, you don't have to hit it that hard, Phil. I understand what you're saying. Okay, but there is certain political considerations.
What political? All I said was, hey, Jerry, congratulations. You deserve it. You're a hell of a nice guy. And you are and this cat has, you know, Jerry Doyle's an interesting guy. He used to be an actor. He was on Babylon 5, among other things, a very, accomplished man. Now he's a broadcaster, and he's scratched, and he's clawed, and he's fought his way to the top. And I'm just wondering, are they going to start making with some of that Michael Savage bread, you know?
What kind of bread do you think Savage was getting?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of bread he was getting, but I bet you he was making a nice piece of change. Okay? And,
Well, I mean, maybe.
No, not maybe. Not maybe. So I'm just asking. I hope that you know, Jerry Doyle's being taken care of.
Yeah, but see, when you say that, what if they're not taking care of him? And
well, if they're not taking care of him, I bet you somehow they've promised him some. If they're not paying him now, I bet you they've got something worked out with him where he'll get paid. But I don't think that's right. I mean,
yeah, right there. See that opinion there? We don't need.
Well, I'm giving that opinion.
You're saying that they ought to pay him up front.
Yes. Yes. Pay him up front. Look, if this guy, Jerry Doyle, is the number six most syndicated guy in America, which is, I believe, what the press release said, and they're now moving him into the afternoon drive slot that Michael Savage had, and I believe I read the quote correctly when they said, you're going from number six to number three, so they're basically saying, you are now number three, why not pay him the money that would warrant?
How much do you think that was?
I'm telling you right now, I don't know, but I'll bet you it was a lot of bread.
And the thing of it is, Phil, if they're not, for whatever reason, And Jerry Doyle hears you yakking away on the radio about how, you know, you think he ought to be getting this amount of money, and maybe he isn't. Then he starts being unhappy. Then he starts knocking on the door, and the next thing you know, you've created a whole crap storm for no reason.
I'm not looking to do that.
Oh, bull crap. You know full well you are.
And no, I'm not looking to do that at all. I'm simply asking questions. I think it's a very fair question to ask in these economic times. Jerry Doyle, moving from the number six most, that's what the thing said. And now he's number three, and I would think that he's entitled to that money. If they're not paying him that kind of money, then there's something wrong with that press release that I saw. Then they ought to be paying him that money. Or maybe they ought to reword the, I don't think they should reword the press release.
You think Jerry Doyle's worth that kind of money?
Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. If that's what they're telling me, and Jerry, you know, and I agree with all those statements, that he's worked his ass off, that he deserves it, that he is in a very prime slot, afternoon drive, that he is taking over a show from a guy that's, you know, a bona fide smash hit, Michael Savage, and God knows the bread that he was making is probably very good money. I would say that Jerry deserves that kind of money, and, you know, I'm very confident that they're paying him.
Yeah, that's another way of saying, you know, hey, Jerry, if you're not getting the money...
Well, you know, David, if you want to stir up the crap...
No, you're the guy that's stirring up the crap, which reminds me, because Pastor Renick brought it up, I'd like to also bring it up at this time. The news report that Turkey invaded...
Yeah, we've already been through that, okay?
No, it's 13 hours old. That's just what I wanted to say.
All right, thank you for sticking that in and turning it, man, because I already know.
All right, yeah, well, you know, I just want to say it again. Hey, everybody, Phil Hendry was talking about something that happened. Well, guess what? It was 13...
Thank you.
Yeah, how come people always speed up? How do they know that you're going to hang up on them?
Yeah, I always wondered that myself.
I don't know, but they do. David always does. He always knows that I'm going to somehow, some way, in some manner that I'm going to hang up on him. All right, some football results from tonight. Number one, the University of Southern California defeated Utah, but it wasn't the smash hit drubbing that a lot of people hoped for. Because as you know, in college football, the way things are done is you can't just beat a team. You have to destroy them. You have to annihilate them. You have to humiliate them. You have to gut them, geld them, hang them from the highest yard arm, and then drag them, keel haul them, and everything else. Otherwise, you ain't worth the, what is it, number 13 ranking that you've got.
Yeah, I wonder why they all do that.
Because this is all that computer jazz that they got. You know, why don't you let these kids grow up and be men, all right? Let them be men, and basically it's this. You win, you're great. You lose, you suck. Don't reward a losing team because, oh, well, at least they didn't kick our ass by 30. Because I'm looking at some of my friends tonight, and they're saying, oh, well, this SC win, that really sucked. They go, why? Because they didn't cover the spread. Who gives a damn? Unless you're living on your gambling money, and some people are, and I understand that. Special hello to my friends in Long Beach, by the way.
That's how your friends are gambling everything?
That's none of your business. Now then, All-American wide receiver Robert Woods was face down on the giant red U in the middle of the field Thursday night, dazed by a wicked shot. The scene was indicative of the Trojans as a whole after blunders left the number 13 Southern California down two touchdowns early and Utah smelling upset. Woods righted himself, and so did the rest of the USC offense, with quarterback Matt Barkley showing why he was a favorite to win the Heisman Trophy before the season started. Barkley led the Trojans to 28 straight points, passing for 303 yards and three touchdowns in a 38-28 victory. Wow.
Man, that's coming from behind, man.
I'll tell you, you know, and because I had read a tweet from one of my friends who said, quote, something along the lines of, my heart is breaking, and the hashtag USC, and I'm like, what the hell happened, man? I didn't know they were down 28 points.
Why don't you watch no football no more?
Because it's boring.
Seriously?
I love football. I love it. But it is boring me now. You know, I'm like bored to hell with, I don't know, man. Maybe it's age or something. I got to see something happen. I want to see death. I want to see destruction. I want to see a new kind of a game where people can actually lose their lives. What do you think about that?
They got one.
What's it called?
World War III.
Great.
Hey. Well, while you guys are getting your jollies about this, I think that it was a wonderful comeback, but I will tell you this much. Because I happen to be a member of Cardinal and Gold. Okay, Phil? Cardinal and Gold?
Yeah. Cardinal and Gold.
Yeah, what's that mean?
I said Cardinal and Gold. Frank and I are... Boy, you don't get it, do you?
I know what Cardinal and Gold is. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening in parts of the country where you are not USC fans, and I don't blame you. This is a USC Cardinal and Gold is a special. You can pay. It's a way to support the university. And oh yeah, by the way, you get really good seats.
Yeah, tell people I'm happy you and thing you did.
What?
Why don't you get them to speak English?
Bud, what did you just say?
You gotta tell people what happened to you.
Yeah, tell people what you did.
Oh, well, my son went to USC. My stepson, Nick. And so we were excited. He was excited. He went to the business school there and graduated. He's a great kid and is now, you know, he's now slugging it out in the business world. But anyway, make a long story short, as soon as he became a member of the student body there, I said, you know, it'd be fun to go and take in the football now. You know, we actually have a vested interest. And my wife said, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. I said, but, you know, I don't want to get some crap can season seats. I want to get good 50-yard line stuff, you know. I want to find out if we can do that. I don't know if we can do that. Well, like an idiot, I call up, and I'm not saying USC did anything. I called them up, the press, whatever the hell it is, the ticket thing, right? And they go, yes, sir. I said, hi, we want to get some season tickets for the coming season. Yes, sir. And I said, to be honest with you, you know, we'd like to 50-yard line seats. You got it. How about 50-yard line about, we got some three-quarters of the way up. I said, right on the 50, huh? Well, about 45. I said, hell yeah. I said, do you have them on the USC side, which would be the press box side? He said, no, sir, they're on the opposite side, behind the visiting bench, but still 50-yard line. I said, I'll take them. I said, and how many? I'd like four, you know, because we would always, I always want to get season tickets. I like to get four so you can bring some friends with you and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, well, you know.
Now, what would I perceive?
I don't know, man. Let's say they're $50 a seat, you know, times whatever, how many games. The SC plays six home games. You know, it's 50 is three times, so six times three. So it's 18, 2,000, maybe 2,500. It ain't cheap, but it's within, you know. And never did it ever occur to me that I was getting, on first time at bat, calling up the ticket office.
You've got 50-yard line seats.
50-yard line seats. And, oh, and on top of that, they said, oh, and by the way, sir, where would you like to sit for the Notre Dame game? You know, because the Notre Dame, they were playing Notre Dame at home that year. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, we always give the option for the Notre Dame game to our first-time season ticket people. You can be up on the press box for the Notre Dame game. I said, wow, yeah, well, we have food, and you can sit down and talk to other parents. And I said, yeah, sure, we'll put you in down for that, sir. So I'm thinking that maybe it was my good looks.
Yeah, you probably thought on account they knew who you was or something like that.
Yeah, no, seriously, I thought maybe they know Phil Hendry, the name or something. I didn't know what. Until I got the bill.
Yeah, I knew it, man.
Well, of course. That's you joined Cardinal and Gold.
I had no idea.
No, yes, you did. You didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, Margaret's right. She's right.
You know I'm right.
Yeah, no. He said, sir, would you like the Cardinal and Gold package? Something like that. I said, yeah. I had no idea that the Cardinal and Gold package meant that I was kicking in an extra $7,000 or something like that.
God, you're kidding me.
No. So, no, it wasn't an extra $7,000. I know what it was. It was like an extra $5,000. So the whole thing wound up costing me $8,000 for, you know.
Well, was it worth it? I love Cardinal and Gold.
I got to be honest with you. Yes, it was, because the seats we had were fantastic. We had four seats, and you stepped, and I was right near the beer stand, man. There was the tunnel. There was the beer. There was the restroom. And we saw some great games. It was during the Matt Leinhardt era. And the Reggie Bush era. So we saw Reggie Bush his junior and senior years, and that was exciting. And I think SC won the national championship one of those years. Pete Carroll was still the head coach. We had high hopes. It was a lot of fun. Little did we know.
Yeah, that USC was cheating its ass off.
Oh, my. Well, such language, Margaret.
Yeah, you dirty word.
Oh, come on. USC was cheating its ass off.
Yes, they were. USC was violating mothers and daughters. They were doing a lot of violation there, man. So there's the story of that. Always remember when they say to you, would you like to join the, you know, and I'm sure most everybody listening to me understands that, except for me. You know. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We got also a pro game that got played tonight. It was the Rams and the Cardinals, and we'll tell you about that one. The Cardinals came into that game with a big-ass winning streak on the line. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So you guys got that figured out, huh?
Well, yes, I have it figured out, but I don't, again, you really, Phil, this is you not listening.
No, I understand it's me not listening. I understand. So you and Frank have Colonel and Gold, so you go to all the games?
Well, Frank goes, you know, and he goes with some people, but we are Cardinal and Gold. I don't think you have to... I'd rather you not ask me any more questions about it because I don't know anything about it. I just like to tell people we're Cardinal and Gold. I'm sure you understand. Phil, we're on the air right now.
Okay, I mean, that sounds like, in other words, you want to give the impression that you're hot stuff.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Well, good. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. So we won't talk about it. By the way, speaking of Los Angeles football, and I'm not saying this, guys, to be hyper-focused on Los Angeles. What I am talking about, though, now is the possibility of teams moving, a shuffling of existing franchises, because, yes, there was this past period of time. I'm not exactly sure when it happened. Maybe it was last week or a couple of weeks ago. There's now a football stadium that's going to be built in the city of Los Angeles with private money, and it's called Farmers Field. It's going to be built downtown. Now, why am I bringing this up on a national radio show? Because there are names of teams that are being floated as teams that will be moved here to Los Angeles to put a team in that Farmers Field.
What's that mean, Farmer Field?
What does that mean? Yeah, Farmer Field?
It's Farmers Insurance.
Oh.
Is that like the sponsor?
Yeah, Farmers Insurance has bought the naming rights. What, did you think it was...
Yeah, they were on a farm.
Well, they built stadiums on it, but I don't think it's likely there'd be a tractor out there.
No.
Well, Phil, it's not that far-fetched.
Well, what do you think they're doing? They're going out and playing football on a farmer's field? That's the name of it. That's the name of the sponsor. Now then... What's going on in the National Football League? Because this ballpark is going to be built, and I got news for you. There's going to be a team that's going to be moved into it sooner rather than later. Will it be an existing franchise, or will it be an expansion franchise? The money says, or some of the smarter money, I don't even want to say it's the smart money, but it's some of the smarter money says it's going to be an existing franchise because an expansion team means... that the owners, already a group of guys that are seeing some of their weaker members having problems, you know, filling the stadiums. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a problem down there. They're not drawing the fans they used to. A couple of other ballparks and a couple of other ball clubs are talking about. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, but what about them old Florida teams? I thought they loved football down there.
Yeah, they like football in Florida.
Well, but you know what? Florida's a college. It's still a place that loves its Miami Hurricane, Florida Seminole. They love their pro game. They love their Dolphins. The Dolphins are always going to be preeminent as a pro franchise. But the Bucs and the Jaguars are kind of weird, you know. The Dolphins have some. They've got a Super Bowl pedigree.
What's that mean, pedigree?
It's like a dog.
What, a dog?
It's like, never mind. The other team, get a load of this, that they're thinking could very well move to Los Angeles and be a tenant there at Farmers Field. You ready for this one? The Rams.
They're out in St. Louis.
They're in St. Louis, but the story is, this is another storyline that some people who are quote-unquote in the know, the storyline is they don't dig it there, they're not making the kind of, you know, money, and their deal is running out. I mean, it's not going to, the Rams would not move to L.A. if they moved to L.A. It couldn't be for a few years because they're locked in pretty solid on their stadium deal. So that's the thing, and they don't want an expansion team because they would have to divide the money up that much more.
Well, Phil, the money that they get, though, is unbelievable. How could they be so selfish as to say, well, oh, we're going to have to divide up, you know?
I don't know. I mean, look, it's very possible, depending upon the kind of money, that, you know, filling the stadium is not the story. It's whether that TV money continues, you know, and the next deal that they sign for television rights, will it be as lucrative as the last one? I mean, that's where it's at. And they divide that money equally. I don't know. I mean, you know, it just, but it looks to me like the smart move is to move a team that exists, an existing franchise, and that can be, as I said, it can be Tampa Bay, it can be Jacksonville, and the other team, the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, that'd be bitching. Yeah, Chargers, get big drive down there.
I'm going to tell you something right now. There would be that would be sickening to football fans in San Diego. San Diego Chargers are beloved in San Diego, man. That was the only thing they had for years was the Chargers. You imagine moving the Chargers from San Diego, which is not exactly the most L.A.-friendly town. I mean, their nickname for L.A. is Smell-A, you know.
Yeah, well, there are a bunch of rubes down there.
Well, maybe, but the fact is, you know, you move the Chargers to L.A., that would be the ultimate. That would be like the Brooklyn Dodgers moving to L.A., you know.
Well, I don't care. If they call us Smell-A down there, then they can rot in their own. I just hope they sit in their own filth.
Yeah, okay. So,
Well, why do you say, yeah, okay?
Well, that's a little strong. All right, so there's the latest on football, folks, as we understand it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Rock. I hope they're sealed in a pit of their own filth.
Phil Henry.